Psalm 64. We ought to do that every Sunday at 3. Let me just share a thought with you. I know what the hour is, and we'll be very careful about that. Psalm 64, look at the very last verse. There's only 10 verses in the psalm. Look at verse number 10. Psalm 64:10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Father, thank you for what our hearts have already been stirred with for these last few moments. For just a few minutes, I pray you'd take the word of God and challenge us. Lord, may we leave this place knowing it's been good to be in your house. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Several years ago, our politicians would have us believe that there was a war on Christmas. So much so that you remember the stories. There were many that tried to have our holiday greetings changed. It was endeavored that it would be no longer legal to say Merry Christmas, and you would have to say Happy Holidays. And then some retailers and other places weren't even happy with Happy Holidays, and it just went on. And I'm glad that we have a current administration that is not embarrassed or bashful about the fact that, yes, we are celebrating Christmas, and yes, it ought to be a Merry Christmas. Less than 2 weeks ago, the New York Times did a piece where they entitled, "Is Christmas a Religious Holiday?" And they interviewed people from all the way across the United States and even from different countries. And their foundings, they came up with the result that indeed Christmas is not a religious holiday. Now, I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't really matter to me what the world does or does not do. I really don't care what they do or do not recognize. Our faith has never been determined by the definitions of the world. Aren't you glad about that? We understand what Christmas is and we understand what it's all about. And surprisingly, 92% of American citizens will celebrate Christmas. Sure seems like an overwhelming majority to me. And so for the last 30 days or so, many people that you have encountered, perhaps all the people that you've encountered in certain occasions, you have offered them the cordial greeting of Merry Christmas. Over the next 24 hours, it will be repeated, it will be texted, it will be posted, it will be put on Facebooks and blogs, and the list goes on millions of times. But what does a Merry Christmas actually mean? And is it possible to have a Merry Christmas? If you look up the word Merry, it's found almost 30 times in the Bible. It's in different variations. And there are different, perhaps, applications of that. Modern definitions want us to believe that to be merry is to be happy. And I'm going to tell you, part of the definition is a happiness. But you understand that from the Word of God, being merry is so much more than being happy. It's a condition found in the heart. You can put on an outward merry look. But did you know that true merriness, I don't know if that's a word, is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ? And I wonder, what does a Merry Christmas look like? And perhaps more than that, what happens when you have a Merry Christmas to those that are around you? Let me share a couple of thoughts with you. First of all, a merry heart spreads. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And many times in the Proverbs, we're offered a positive, and then we're often perhaps offered a, I don't know if negative is the right word, but sometimes a connection to that opening statement. And then he says that the brokenness of the spirit, and he makes some application. And when you are merry, it will result in you being cheerful. It will result in you making, it will make a difference in you, and it will begin to make a difference in those that are around you, and it's contagious. When I was in college, there were about 4,800 students on campus at the time. There was a man in our school by the name of Dan. I do not know his last name, didn't know it then, still don't know it now. Most people called him Friendly Dan. Because Dan was the kind of guy that it didn't matter if he knew you or knew me, he would talk to you. He'd talk to me, he'd talk to you, he'd talk to a wall. He didn't care. He's just a very friendly guy. You could be having a bad day and come around the corner, and Dan would stop you. He would look you in the eye. He would talk to you, and he would find some gesture to encourage you to get you to smile. Friendly Dan. Now, that's not that big of a deal if there's 40 or 50 people, but 4,800 people? And it didn't matter where you met him or where you, at what point on the campus, he always had a kind word. Now, your response may not be the same. You may not be friendly Dan. Dan's pretty friendly, but you may not be friendly Dan. But the truth of the matter is, if you have a merry heart, it does show up on your face. And it ought to show up, and others ought to see it. And the Bible says that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. I often think of those that are perhaps described that way. We recognize it because of their countenance. My grandma Nepshield was that way. Grandma lived to be 92 years old, and she was very broken by arthritis. Her body physically was bent over. Her hands were all crippled over by arthritis. But you know, my grandmother could never have convinced me as a child that she was in pain, because she was a cheerful person to be around. She had a song on her lips, and she always had a smile, and she was busy about life, and she just had a spirit that was contented within her. And the Word of God speaks to us about the fact that a merry heart spreads, it's contagious, it encourages others that are around us. The opposite of that would also prove to be true. A sorrowful heart can suck the joy right out of every situation. I read about a preacher who was asked to do a graveside service for a man that had no family and no friends. And he was running behind. He didn't have real good directions, and so he got lost and made a few wrong turns. And by the time he got to the graveside, there was no hearse there. All he saw was a backhoe and a hole there, and a couple men leaned up, 40 yards away or so, leaned up against a tree. He got out and he felt discouraged at himself, but he walked over, and as he stood there along the side of the hole, the vault lid was already in place, and he thought, well, at least I could do is go ahead and have a nice few words for this man. The family has asked me, or those in the community have asked me to do that. And so he opened his Bible and he read with energy and with a loud voice. I mean, he gave this individual who he did not know well the best going away that perhaps there ever was. And he said a prayer, and as he turned to walk back to his car, he heard one of the men that was leaned under the tree say, well, I've been putting septic tanks in for 20 years and have never seen that. Now look, a merry heart spreads to those that are around you. Don't be the kind of person through this Christmas season that sucks the life out of the room and the merriment and the enjoyment from everyone else that's around you. And can I just encourage you, let your face know there is a reason for you to be merry. Number one, a merry heart spreads. Number two, a merry heart settles. In the same passage of Scripture, in Proverbs chapter 15, the Bible says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. It's a great application that the Scripture gives. He that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. The Bible speaks about there being a contentedness there. A person that is merry is constantly able to feed from that continual feast. Did you know that having a merry heart is not the result of getting everything that you want? Brother Abbott mentioned that this morning in some of his introduction. In fact, having a merry heart or a merry Christmas is not even necessarily about having all of your family and friends together. In fact, I've learned that sometimes with your family and friends together, it may not be as merry as you'd like it to be. But just having folks together may not be the definition of a Merry Christmas. I have an aunt and uncle who only had one child, and I've told some things about her in illustrations before, but she has turned her back on her family and has been gone for a couple years now and has disowned them and has changed her name and all sorts of really just empty and vile actions. And my aunt just a few weeks ago said, there's nothing merry about this Christmas. I said, now wait a minute. We're talking about people who make a six-figure income. We're talking about people that live in a nice, paid-for home. They drive nice vehicles. Neither one of them have life-threatening diseases. Do they have some things to be upset about? Sure they do. But they also have some things that they could be glad about. And a merry Christmas or a merry heart is defined by that which is contented in where we are. Having a Merry Christmas isn't everything that's on your list. Brother Abbott mentioned this morning in some of his introduction about those who left notes for what they wanted on their list. I don't know if you heard about the girl in Canada earlier this week who wrote her Christmas list in her yard. Did you hear that? Did you see that? It had been snowing for a while in Canada, and so she decided to take a pitcher of water, put food coloring in it, and take it out in the yard and write her Christmas list in the yard. It's a true story. Now, I don't know how many pitchers of water it took, but she made, in her yard, she made a list, and it said, Christmas starts here. It was a big arrow pointing to the sidewalk, then, of course, pointing to the front door. If you cross the sidewalk, she continued to write, please leave all of your presents here, with an arrow pointing back to the sidewalk. And then another place over here in the yard, as it started to round the corner, that said, please take my brother, with an arrow pointing to his bedroom window. As if that wasn't enough, as you come around the corner of the yard, she wrote, no, I'm serious. He's broken. I need another brother. And having a Merry Christmas isn't that you get everything that's on your list. Rather, it is understanding how much we've already been given. I recently made a visit with an older couple in their home. And as I sat with them for about an hour, they told me about how that God had blessed their marriage and how God had blessed their home and God blessed their business and how God blessed their family. And they had family troubles and both of them had health troubles. But yet they just spoke with joy about where they were in their relationships and how they put God first and how that God had kept them from foolish decisions. And I thought to myself, here's a group of people or two individuals who know what it is to be truly merry, to be content with what they have and who they are, contented with what God had given them and with what God had done. And the reason the passage in Proverbs chapter 15 says that a merry heart hath a continual feast, it's because those that are contented with what God has done know what it is to constantly be in the place to just live from the blessings whereby God has given us. Now, we can and should, and we won't take the time to do that, but we could go around this room and there would be many, many things that many people ought to be able to thank the Lord for what He's done. We'll do a little bit of that next week as we move into the New Year service. But I want to remind you, there's always a place of remembering what God has done for you. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. God has directed you to where you are in your life, in your marriage, in your business, whatever the case may be, and He's given you some things perhaps that you need in your life. He's taken away some things perhaps that you don't need in your life. And a merry heart spreads, and a merry heart settles, and number three, a merry heart soothes. The Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a what? Like a medicine. Merry heart is pleasing, it's soothing, it's curing, it helps to deal with the issues that are around you and sometimes even the issues that other people may be facing around you. You realize that having a contented spirit and being right with the Lord and enjoying your relationship with Him, it is a wonderful cure of going through difficult trials. It helps to make a difference many times. You ever found yourself in a place where someone has said just the right word or they've come along at the right time and they've made you laugh or they've been an encouragement to you and you've said, man, I haven't laughed like that in a long time. Or as they've encouraged your heart, you found yourself saying, wow, man, I really needed that. I just really needed that. Sometimes it happens that way in a church service. Come to the house of God and you know what it is to be filled with the Word of God and you're able to walk away and say, wow, man, you know, I just really needed that. And I want to tell you that a merry heart can sometimes do more for your sorrow than anything the world has to offer. It's good for the bitter. It's good for the lonely. It's good for the empty. It's good for the troubled. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We say Merry Christmas. We're going to say it here many times before we walk out the door. The truth of the matter is, it's a choice. You come back to this place next week, it will have been your choice whether you have a Merry Christmas or not. Nothing that happens through the course of these next 24 hours should be able to steal the contentedness that you have in the Lord. There may be some things you don't know are coming in the next 24 hours. And there may be some trials that you wish were different. So I just want to challenge you. Don't let the season sour you. Let it soothe and settle you. Because you can have a merry-hearted Christmas. It's been good. I appreciate you being here in the afternoon. Stand. Let's be dismissed.